on tonight.
Good for you.
I'm not going to do the introduction. You introduce yourself.
I'll do it this way.
My name is Fox. I'm going to give up for my brother, Fox. Come to the stage. Come on, Fox.
Even if tough times last, tough people, they last longer. And as you go down that bubble-ridden path, let your faith grow stronger. If you fall off a horse, get up again.
Myself, I need to be sure. So is your brothers from their past. Their track record must be from their
death. I see clearly my youth. Retrospect is young and dumb. Retrospect, or just a kid having fun.
All day, every minute, second, an hour, you're going at it all right, hitting on your marks, morning, evening, and night. Through sweat, pain, torture, and agony, you bring the heat on the road to who you want to be. At your best to the very core, you bring the heat. When you're finished, you want more. Every task, you're on high alert, never bored. Your only obstacle is you. Your next set, that's...
Sequoia tree. One by one, they'll mass. Core filled passes down victory path. It's
all. It was me and the boss man taking a ride. Murky and dark as we looked outside. And so, to make our connection, he turned and he asked me a question. He said, Fox, if you had one wish, nothing more, what would it be that you'd ask for? For a minute, I sat and I wondered, and then he began his out loud ponder. He said, Fox, a lot of us are drawn to material, but I know something I long to feel. It's not just experience, it's insight. It's taking notes and going to pass time sight. It's must for any man. I must get it over I can. If I had a bag, I'd toss you some. Oh, how I long for a daily dose of wisdom. Hi, my name's Fox, and I'm going to start right there, and that was just a poem about a friend of mine and I driving home from a baseball game, and he asked me that question, what do you want more than anything else? And the thing was, it couldn't be tangible. And he had me at lockjaw, and that's what he said, and then I wrote about it. So if you look on your index cards, who has the wisdom poem?
I do.
And your name, sir?
Jeff.
Joe, hi. Joe, is there an arrow on the bottom?
Yes.
If you flip over, what does it ask you?
What's not tangible item you wish you had? An endless supply of.
Could you answer that? A non-tangible item you wish you had an endless supply of. It can't be chocolate. Can't be cars. He said wisdom. Set one, number two. If you look on your index card, so Joe, if you would, at some point here, jot something down. I'll discuss it. Do you have anything now?
Nothing yet.
Not yet? Okay. So at some point. Set one, number two. Who has that? Do you flip in your index cards? Set one.
Hold on. I have set two.
So, set one, number two.
1-2.
Oh, never mind. Who has 1-2?
I do.
That's a fire.
Lucky night, huh?
It is.
I didn't shuffle very well.
I didn't pass it up very well. So, what do we have, Joe?
What's that?
What
says?
Let's see. Set one, the same friend.
Own a popular item.
Oh, don't look at it yet.
Sorry.
It's okay. That's quite okay. This one's about the same friend as the wisdom poem about his dad. His dad's name is Fred. We call him Ferd.
That's good.
He tries to sandbag everybody, thinking that he's not smart. He is an extremely intelligent human being. In fact, when he goes hunting, he makes his own bullets.
Oh, jeez.
He makes them. He physically makes his own bullets. I don't understand. To me, people are like sheep. Money goes around in their brains, and it deprived of sleep with a do-re-mi ain't nothing to a man from the country. Life today to me seems to be so fast, dwelling and harping on the past. Why can't we realize that 1,000 past means no future? Expensive jeans and mounds of green, these things I am without. A high rise in the city to me ain't so pretty. Cars and jewels, as great as they may seem, these things I am without. She pleaded for shiny new heels, size 6.5. I said, hey honey, let's do the math. A barefoot you revs my engine more than any hot catch from here to high heaven. I wish for the first time again we could meet and then two people could have the exact same heartbeat. Expensive jeans and mounds of green, these things I am without. A high rise in the city to me ain't so pretty. Cars and jewels, as great as they may seem, these things I am without. Ain't it funny? Feel the irony, because I feel like $1,000,000. So, what's that about? What am I trying to say? Dee Dee, what am I trying to say? You know me.
To make you happy.
Yeah, the less you own, the more worry-free you are. And I'm guilty. I'm guilty of holding a lot of stuff. I think, well, why do I have this hat? I hate wearing hats. I have like 17 of them. Lupus Foundation, please come pick up. I mean, I just figured that out. But in his, and going back to my friend's dad, when you ask him, hey, Ferd, how's it going? Without. That's his answer. So I figured I'd catch right now. So, Joe, you have it. Again, you have the without poem. And on the other side?
Want to read it now?
Is anything written? Yes, please.
The only popular item that you wish never existed, what is it?
So, I'll make that a audience discussion. What do we own, this popular item that we have, and we say, what do I need this thing for? Like my mom would tell me, Fox, you need a football, like you need a hole in the head, because I had like 18 footballs growing up. It was unbelievable. So, I know that you own. That you own, that you...
TV.
Items of clothing. I'm not a big TV person. Especially in a day like this, I do not want to watch television. Then I read that kids, on average, spend 8 hours in front of some kind of technology every day. 8 hours. Is it more than that for anybody? Anybody spend more time than 8 hours?
A day?
Yeah. That's the average. I mean, I read that.
Yeah.
I read that. 8 hours. Some of my students, I'm a school teacher in Whippany. Some of my students, they do spend 8 hours. And 1 hour of that is in my classroom. Anywho, set one, number three. Who has 1-3? Yes, and your name is?
Teresa,
it's good to meet you. How are you?
When? Here.
I asked you how you were.
Oh, I thought you wanted because I'm fine.
Okay, good. I'm glad you came. So, when fear dot dot dot?
Correct.
Okay, when fear dot dot dot. If you fail, it does not make you a failure. So give it your best what you want to be. Because it would be a total shame if you failed at what you didn't want to be. In the end, you might not have it all. Remember, it's not naive to try. So prayerize, pictureize, and actualize. In the end, fly high. Yes, as stands right now, all you have is your present reality. Every day in your head, fear disguises practicality. Practicality says play it safe. It says this year after year, but if you would just dare lift its mask, all you would see is fear. Some look at the universe of one and all are too afraid to ask. What if you took a risk and didn't let fear wear its mask? So look mask up, stare right through fear, kick it to the past. Be the person you're destined to be. Turn around, let your naysayers kiss your ass. That's when fear wears practicality's mask. I am just saying, how many times have I done something and then lied and said, well, it's more practical to do choice B. I don't want to do choice A because B is more practical. But the reality is, I'm scared today. I'm scared. It's a mask. Eventually, the mask becomes your face. Simple one for me was getting in to the front passenger seat in the car. Why? Because with my CP getting into the car, my right foot would always graze the door. It was dirt in the door. So I get in the back, so no one didn't see me, the dirt in the door. I'm saying I'm being courteous. Like, you can sit in the front seat. No, I'm sitting in the back seat because I don't want you kicking the door with dirt in a small sense. So, Teresa, is there anything on the back of that car?
No.
No, there's not. So you're off the hook. Joe, is there anything that you wrote down? Anything about without, or the first poem, or wisdom? Endless supply, something that's not tangible?
I do it Friday with the second one.
What'd you do for the second one?
Cell phone.
Cell phone. I could lose that.
I could lose that.
I could lose that forever. Mm-hmm. But telegram or something, just do that. Mm-hmm. Or just go hide. Even better. So what do we have? Four? 1-4? Back to Ruth? Yes.
Observe.
Audience time. Could you please say observe between each line? Is that okay? Everyone? Please. So much we can learn.
Observe.
Soon you'll barrel the curve.
Observe.
Verbal bondage has no place.
Observe.
This is not a race.
Observe.
No such thing as a lead.
Observe.
Don't make your ears bleed.
Observe.
The tantalizing sunset.
Observe.
Much is far from over yet.
Observe.
The duck could be hollow.
Observe.
The water could be shallow.
Observe.
You own what you see.
Observe.
Your thoughts, tell me. You're in quarter right now. You don't think. Get off the level. Just kidding. Just like my students. Are you awake? Are you alive? That's all you had to do. As far as you're going to go today. I'm just saying there is a reason why we have two eyes, two ears, and one mouth. I think proportionally, sort of the input and the output. Do you know what I mean? You know what I mean? Anybody not agree with that?
Makes sense.
Does it make sense? Makes sense. So it was going to be a nature poem, but I thought, you know what? How many people could I just look at them and say, instead of saying, shut up, less is more? Next one, number five? Were you on number five? What, three in a row? About a few, yeah, I don't know.
The napkin.
What about a napkin?
No, when you're done, you use it.
When you're done, you use it. Yeah, I don't think there's been a meal in my life where I have not needed a napkin.
Yeah.
Have I used one of them? No. No. Anybody here like cottage cheese, by the way?
So
cottage cheese people? Mm-hmm. Okay. Why? Lori, why?
I like the taste of it.
Because it's bland, right?
Yeah.
The bland taste. I love the bland taste, too. Do you put anything with it?
I like pineapple with it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I like the texture.
Do you get, like, the store-bought pineapple cottage cheese, or do you put the pineapple in the cottage cheese?
Most of the time, the store-bought. The mix. Yeah.
Where's this going? Conversation. I really don't know.
I don't know.
Who else? Cottage cheese. Cottage cheese. So, Patty, well, why?
Why? It's nice and cool.
It's cool.
It's dairy.
You like dairy stuff?
I like tomatoes.
Tomatoes?
Yeah.
Hello, diverticulitis.
No. And potato chips.
I can try that. But I like it because it's easy on the stomach and stuff. But I hate the texture of it. And then it gets stuck in your teeth.
I love it. Well, yeah. You can get the fine curd.
I'll go with pineapple and potato chips.
Try potato chips.
And cantaloupe is nice.
And cantaloupe is good too?
And cinnamon.
Nice. Alright. If you took this here napkin and folded it into shape, what story would it tell? What picture would it paint? Would it note all the peaks and valleys, jump over and run through? But like any other napkin, it cleans up too, just like you. If you don't want to be a napkin, rather a bar of soap, what story would it tell with no lies or jokes?
But it knows all the peaks and valleys, jump over and run through. But like any other bar of soap, it cleans up too, just like you. These two small things that tell your life story, may they lead you on a path of amazing glory. And when the book is closed and the story is done, let's just realize we all are one. It was written about a guy named Dewey Bozell. Does anybody know who Dewey Bozell is? He's a man from New York State that was jailed for a murder he did not commit, was in jail for 32 years. 32 years. He got married while he was in prison. He got an undergraduate degree while he was in prison. He got a graduate degree while he was in prison. And then when he got out at 51, he became a professional boxer. I figured him and I are the same person. We had napkins and soap. How could we be 5 minutes? I wanted to connect myself with Dewey Bozella. And that's what came out of it. I don't really edit a lot of things that I write, but that's what came, where it came from. Mr. Dewey Bozella. What are we on, number six? We having fun?
Yes.
You guys need to stand up and stretch? We good?
Yes, sir.
You do? What's your name?
Vinny.
Vinny, it's nice to meet you.
I'm Fox. Thanks, Fox.
What do you have?
He looks back at me and says...
What does he look back at you and say?
You shithead.
Yeah, that's really my dad. I would say that. My mother would definitely say that. Yeah. She would not never tell you that. That's where you go to your den and say, hey, honey, I'll see you later. You're just like, you should have. It's like a mirror. And the mirror, a lot of times, has told me that exactly many times. Because when you look at it, you can't lie. You can't lie. You can't lie. And I like that. And it's actually, I read a lot about the mirror. It's 6:30 in the a.m., and the snooze has become my friend. Soon I see myself in the mirror, he looks back at me and says, have you done all you can do? Are you ready for what is to come? Are you thankful for all you have been given, as would say decent son? Do you realize the responsibility comes with the pleasure of success? We must be a man of integrity to always be at your best. No matter there are no cameras, that you are alone under this roof, you can hide sometimes from the outside world, but me, the mirror, guess what? I always see the truth. And yeah, oftentimes I have been, okay? I've been a shithead. I've been a liar. I've stolen things. I can remember telling my students in class, don't buy, cheat, or steal. And I told them a story about when I was in seventh grade, okay? And I get out of Mrs. Brockett's class, and I go to Aaron Zahn's locker. She has 7, 16, 5. Oh, there's your wallet. I don't take your lunch money. And I'm like, why would you do that? I'm like, why did I just tell my students that? So I friended the guy on Facebook and told him, I said, listen, I'll give you some money in my PayPal account. I stole $7 out of your locker in seventh grade. But yeah, I've elaborated on a lot of things to my students, saying, don't do this because I did it. I'm thinking to myself, Fox, I don't know if they're going to buy into that. Maybe they're going to do it and just say, because you did it. He looks back at me and says, you're a liar. Number seven? Are we on seven? Are you all married?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And your name is?
Janice.
Janice, for how many years?
20 years.
Our anniversary is tomorrow. 20 years. Congratulations. 21 years. 21 years. I'm celebrating another anniversary of my 21st birthday. So, Jess, what's the name of the poem?
It takes time to forgive.
Does anybody believe that?
Sure.
Yeah. You can tell, oh, just forgive him. Wait a minute here. Well, no, dude, just give me a second. Blessed to have lived this earth longer than I could have ever thought. Humbled to have felt a range of emotions, happy, sad, surprised, and distraught. I have walked tall, I have my tail between my legs, and my pride has been shattered. I know as long as I'm around, things are going to happen.
I've been advised by friends and family over and over again that life is a series of fleeting moments, flashes in the pan. So keep calm, don't worry, fill your mind with peace and assurance, pick and choose your battles. Sometimes go with the currents. Life is marked by ups, downs, and incessant jealousies. And forgiveness is the one thing against the goat of your enemies. When you are bruised and you are battered, it'll all be water under the bridge. But not with a snap of fingers, because to me, it takes time to forgive. To get to the finish line, go by fast, but please row slowly and always keep in your heart the spirit of the holy. Affirm and affirm positive outcomes at the beginning of each day. Do what you do, no matter what your detractors say. Look from the point of view of a child that says, nothing is too good to be true. The sun rises, you levitate, and you're born again anew. Many things are left unexplained, but not in your eyes, Dr. Peel said. Look to see what is in front of you. There's always something new and better ahead. Life is marked by ups, downs, and incessant jealousies. And forgiveness is the one thing that gets the goat of your enemies. When you are bruised and you are battered, it'll all be water under the bridge, but not with a snap of the fingers, because it takes time to forgive. I've been beat up. I've been physically beat up. And I think that oftentimes when that's happened, it's because I'm different. I move around differently. And I'm comfortable in my skin, as it seems to a lot of people. Most of the time, I am. But I've never been one that's been good at forgiveness. I do hold grudges against people. I'm not perfect. And I needed help with that. And one of my mentors, teacher Tom Shoemaker, he was a great mentor, and he moved to Florida right after he retired from teaching. He'd been teaching Woodley Park High School since 1968. He had taught for 41 years. And personal issue happened to him, and then when I gave him the book, he wrote to me and said, you know what, this poem speaks to me. And for a while, I couldn't recite it because it made me think of him and sort of the hurt that he was going through. Does anybody here struggle with forgiveness? Anybody struggle with it? Struggle with forgiveness? Anybody define forgiveness? A definition of forgiveness. Janice, can you define forgiveness? What's forgiveness to you?
Letting go of something that hurt you.
Yeah, you're not seeing what that person did to you is right. You just don't want to be in emotional prison anymore, right? Because when you're angry, it affects you. You turn into a different person. But understand, and I've had to get this into my thick skull over the years, you're not saying what the person, what you do is okay. It's not okay. But I gotta get out of prison. I gotta get out of your emotional prison. That's what I'm trying to say. It takes time to forgive. We on number eight? Look at this, back to back to back again. How wonderful.
Initiative.
Audience time. This is live. This is live. So, please say initiative between each one. Where do you start?
Initiative.
The Tsar once told us.
Initiative.
Before practice even began.
Initiative.
Keep your ducks in a row.
Initiative.
Life sometimes can be slow.
Initiative.
Before you go packing.
Initiative.
See things before they happen.
Initiative.
So began the season.
Initiative.
Before you knew it, packed up and leaving.
Initiative.
Enjoy it before long.
Initiative.
Those years dead and gone.
Initiative.
What's that word? Lori, what's that word? I mean, you're a mother. You're a mother, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the kids have chores? Do they have chores around the house?
Yeah. Being, you know, motivated to do something.
Motivated?
Motivating yourself to do something.
Oh, intrinsically motivated. So you don't have to say, so-and-so.
Right.
It's time to do this.
Right. Take it on yourself.
Take it on yourself. Do it before I ask you to do it.
Yeah.
You know all the right things to do, go out there and do them. So the story for me in that word, I didn't know what that was. I didn't know how to spell that word. I didn't know what the word was. And I was a freshman in college. I'm at the University of South Carolina. And we're playing college in Charleston. And we lose our very first opening game 6-3. And I'm in charge of doing these videotapes. Okay, videotaping the game out in the center field. And I go into the coach's office. My coach, Coach Tedder, says, Fox, initiative. Like, what? What language is he speaking right now? I know he's, I don't think he's bilingual. Initially. And he pulled out some tape and a sharpie and just wrote CNC and put the date on it. Meaning, you should do this before I tell you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Take the initiative. So, Janice, if you could turn over the card, what does it say?
Spell the title of your last poem.
Spell it! Don't spell it. Yeah, spell the word initiative.
I-N-I-T-I-A-T-I-V-E.
God, I could never do that.
I'm
the only one in the room that can spell initiative. I could. I can't do it. I-N-I-T-I-A-T-I-V-E. I got it. Is it number 9? Yeah, number 9.
At 9.
Thank you, Lori.
This is not a rehearsal.
Look, don't waste it. You have one chance and one chance only to make it. Let experience morph into wisdom and wisdom be your guide. This is your one chance, so go ahead, you decide. What mark are you going to make and how are you going to be remembered in this world of so many ups, downs, and to-do lists unattended? So go ahead, no guarantees. Fix that leak and put air in your tires. This is life. This is not a rehearsal. Graduate school, Dr. Walter Simonescu. He gave the phrase, oh, this is the real world. You're already in the real world. Okay, whether you're 18, 28, 38, 48, 88, doesn't matter. You're in the real world. So don't let anybody tell you that. But again, take pride in what you're doing, regardless of how old you are and what you're doing. That's what I'm saying. This is life. This is not rehearsal. And the final one of this set goes to 1-10? Oh, and your name is?
Steve.
Steve, it's nice to meet you on Fox. Thanks for coming.
Sure. So what am I supposed to do?
Just read it.
Brass, irony, end of set one.
Brass, irony. I've heard before that slow and steady wins the race. But I'm so slow sometimes I have to speed up to stop. I really do enjoy food you eat that comes from the ground. But sometimes I'm so tired I can't get up. I've heard, Fox, if you don't like what you're watching, change the channel. But at times it's impossible to erase the images that are in my head. I've told my students, don't lie, cheat, or steal. And I elaborate on this by telling them times that I've lied, cheated, or stolen. I used to have a constant desire to please people. Now, I get my peace out of telling people the truth. That's the end of set one.
Soul train, you cut a rug.
13 years in Windy City. Every step you took looked so doggone pretty. You played so hard when you feel your will. Gave this skinny little kid a thrill. You had to whisk the sea bass color. Protected him, he was white, he was your blood brother. We never spoke of Dad, we never knew what happened. We were proud, so proud of being from Jackson. Run, pass, kick, and throw. That talent you had, you tossed it below. You did it all, you inspired. Play like your hair was on fire. Seeming uniform on those days I miss. Your wisdom, your will, and your talent. But in one word, your sweetness.
There are many men I hold in great regard. They ho-hum through their tasks, me so hard. I think of the great range rider. To me, he's the prototype, true life fighter. His cattle are his men, his land he defends, and animals, weather, and the like. Every day a 15-round knockout fight. Up every day at 5, him and his cattle out for the drive. He does what he should. He labels his goods. With his lasso, he ropes his spear. And labels its right ear. He does it, I don't know how, with great gumption, a sharp knife, and a pissed off cow. Now, full of blood, shit, and mud, one more thing to do, surely not fun. Time's wasted, can't be late. With that same cow, Steve is trying to castrate. There are many men holding great regard. They ho-hum their tasks, meet so hard. I think with the great range rider. To me, he's the prototype, a true life fighter. Have you ever ridden a horse before? Anybody ride horses? Lori, is it easy for you to ride a horse?
I don't ride, I've ridden.
You've ridden?
They're scary.
Yeah, because you're afraid you're going to hurt the animal or it's going to kick or...
I think you don't realize how big animal it is until you're on top. And
they're massive. My dad, growing up in Berkeley Heights, he owned a horse, actually a couple, he was an avid. Loves horses to this day. And the horse's name was Sonny Boy. Sonny Boy was a hoot, from what I hear. Sonny Boy once bit my dad in the back. Bit him. Dad took two or four out and gave him the business. And then Sonny Boy escaped from the stable on Christmas Day. My aunt, her husband, my dad actually surrounded the horse, and Sonny Boy charged them. My dad loved the horse, but had to give it up. And he went to the stable, and he rode a horse named Diablo. He loved it. Loved his horse. Had a man bought a horse that night, a stable broke down. Yeah. And I have an affinity for horses, but it's really hard for me to have a horse, to ride them, because of my gait. And one of the best therapy for me is to ride horses. And I'm scared. I'm scared to do it because it's going to take a year and a day to get on. The horse is going to be looking at me saying, okay, it's been an hour, buddy. Time to go. That was actually written about the show Alaska, the Last Frontier. And one of the family members saying, has anybody ever watched that Alaska, the Last Frontier on Discovery Channel? Anybody? Crickets? No?
I've heard that.
You've heard about it? Well, they basically are cowboys, and every fall you will cat and drive. And I have great respect for that person because I can't even ride a horse growing up now. Next poem, it'll be number 2 in set number 2, so 2-2.
Man of Steel.
You have it?
Yeah.
Well, who's the Man of Steel?
Who was your person?
What?
Pot of Gold.
Thanks, Dave. So after I do the poem, you can actually read that. What you going to do is, okay, you gave me the poem, right? So now I'm going to do the poem,
right.
And then you're going to read that, and you're going to tell me your Man of Steel, the Heart of Gold. Yes, I like it. You can write it down if you want, right now. He's got muscles on his muscles. He's been stung with many demons. For goodness sake, his shadow is a sight to see. He keeps track of what he eats as a clock tracks time. For goodness sake, even his toe muscles are fine. He's one part carbs and 8 parts protein, all other food. Consider them his enemy. When he gets mad, life gets him frustrated. He goes to the gym and gets himself calibrated. He's yolk like an egg, total shredded meat. I'll bet you his DNA has more protein than meat. As some of us age and sag all of a sudden, he looks better and better. Regular Ben Button. In his blood is structure, minute-to-minute discipline. But he turns the plate mush when he sees children. To them, he's magnetic, pure lightning rod. And to me, he's my brother. And for that, I thank God. He's a man of steel, a particle. So that's what my brother Billy, who's my height, he's about 185 pounds, and he does have muscles on his muscles. And you'll learn later that I'm a skinny fat dude. He's a man of steel, heart of gold. So while I'm eating the pizza, he's killing the cow. I can't even describe it. The guy has not had a piece of cake for the last 25 years. So, Steve, when was the last time you had cake?
That's a good question. I really don't know when.
Chocolate chip cookie?
I think yesterday.
Yesterday. Yeah. Favorite sweet?
I guess ice cream.
Ice cream. Yes. Ice cream. Chipwich? You like chipwiches?
Chipwiches? Daddy says, nope.
Chipwich. So, Patty, what's your favorite sweet?
Mine?
Yeah.
Licorice.
Licorice? Good. Really? Licorice?
Well,
that's disgusting.
Or lemon, anything lemon.
Lemon meringue pie?
More like lemon drops.
Lemon drops.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, I think I can remember. Sunday had pound cake.
I could crush that. Crush that. You'll learn later that I'm a big fan of pound cake and cookies and
sweets.
And sweets overall. My condition, my hypertension CP, okay, my muscles spasm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So I'm constantly burning calories. Doesn't mean my insides look very good, though. Does not mean that. So set to number three.
SFD.
What does that stand for? What does that stand for?
SFD.
SFD. I mean, it's not something you go, oh, SFD. It's not any kind of cussing. I promise. What would make sense after Man of Steel, Heart of Gold? Diddy. Make you proud.
Oh, is Diddy said?
My stomach is a bottomless pit.
Oh, okay.
Sure, I'll eat that. I don't care about it. I can eat more than a horse and throw peanut butter over pizza on remorse. Without remorse. In spite of all this food and beer, I turn sideways, people, and what happens? I disappear. But I lift my shirt and I'm attacked by the empty side of my one pack. My muscles are like wet newspaper. So all the girls say, hey, Fox, see you later. Hi, I'm a skinny fat dude. That's skinny fat dude.
That's why it's quite obvious.
I once ate, during a baseball game, I once ate 27 brownies. That is the only record that I hold in the game of baseball. It will never be broken. Had a recipe for eating grandmother's apple pie in one sitting at 7 o'clock in the morning. I've done that. I put peanut butter on the pizza. But luckily, because of my CP, it's related. This is my broken gift, because if I'm anybody else and I don't have my CP, I'm guaranteeing you I'm not walking right now. I'm not. Because my diet has been terrible. And I am skin fat. I'm proud of that. So the next one, 2-4?
My broken gift.
Captive of my body. This thing has got me. Sitting here in that chair, so begins the unfair. I'm thought so by some blind, deaf, and dumb. May I ask, how do you hear that sound? How is he getting around? Listen, my cross eyes gave me X-ray vision in disguise. My first ectomy to my last otomy, my scars are my gift. A rounded silhouette of a man and his limbs belie. It's where spasticity meets elasticity. My scars are my gift. Don't stare. Mom said that. What's he looking at? You see, it's in that split second you form your perception. Come on over and patronize. You would cut down the size. Your high words won't work. It's the truth, you jerk. Misjudged book and misread cover. I'll tell you what lies under. Your actions say 1,000 words more wrong than you ever heard. Because my crossed eyes gave me x-ray vision in disguise. Your own silhouette of a man's limbs belie. It's where spasticity meets elasticity. My scars are my gift. I was born cross-eyed. Okay, I'm born cross-eyed. My lungs collapsed. A couple of surgeries, this is the deal with my eye surgery. So I get one, I'm in good shape. I get another, I'm in better shape. I'm doing real well. And then I have a big spot in my grandmother's house and I'm throwing pop flies to myself in the porch. Why don't I just do it outside? I fell over grandma's couch, hit my head, my eyes go back to the way they were before surgery. Okay? I go back in for surgery again. I come out worse than I was when I went in. That doctor is now in jail for malpractice.
Wow.
So now, okay, Joe, I'm looking at you with my right eye, right? See that? Now it's my left. Now it's my right. Now it's my left. Right? So in college, you got a pretty girl, right? You see in Spanish class. I'm probably going to talk to her. I'm going to get to talk to her, get to talking to her, right? And she's looking behind her like, I'm not looking at her, but I really am. With my left eye. And she walks away. Oh. I'm in class. I've got to tell them. But I'm not wearing glasses, people, okay? I will point at you and say your name. Didi. Okay? Because oftentimes I just point at you, okay? Like many back there, you go, what are you looking at? And I get that from a lot of people. And it's just part of my broken gift. Teresa, I can see you and Lori Quinn at the same time. I can see both of you right now.
Wow.
All right. That's about me sitting in a chair at a bar or somewhere. It's a place for common people when they're, what I think they're thinking about me. My broken gift. Next one. Are we on number 9? What are we on? 2-what?
I don't know if you did.
Oh, I have 2-5.
You did?
Yes. The tail of the tape.
This is Dr. Emma. I stand at medium height. You stood at 6'2". My stance is as strong as foam. You stood taller than most I knew. You would push Bond's car to make sure we weren't late. Me, today, I have a hard time pushing a shopping cart straight. You could feed villages with your green thumb. I touch it, I stun greens, I promise, with no pelican. Looking at myself, a man young no more. Years ago, you met your first grandchild, and you met 10 more. Grandpa, as I stand here knee-deep in mud, I'm thankful to have some of your blood. The tail of a tape. There's me and Grandpa. He was a really good kid. He can build things. My mother can build things and fix things. I've acquired none of those skills. Zero. I have that moment. Does this work, Francisco? Yeah, Fox, it's called extension cord. You just plug into the outlet over here. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's me. Yep. I don't know why I've got none of their skills, but I have none of them. I guess I can talk a little bit. 2-6!
I have that also.
All right.
Mighty Max.
What does it say on the back of that?
Okay. It says, what's something you own/cherish that some people might think is useless or a piece of junk?
Could you answer that? Can anybody answer that? Something you hold dear and you want to go to somebody else and you're like, what's that piece of garbage? Anyway, this is your turn. Yes?
I have the first shirt that I owned that was not a handicap.
Wow.
40-some-odd years ago.
Sure, you all know, not a handyman. So I'm thinking you came from a pretty big family? How many?
10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you have 9 siblings?
Well, now I have 11, because my father had 2 more.
Oh,
I name them all in the next 10 seconds.
Mary, Tommy, Steve, birthdays or how old they are.
No, I'm not going to go that far because I can't remember my siblings' birthdays sometimes, and I probably. Wow. First shirt you owned was not a hand-me-down. What does it say on it? Anything?
No, it's just pink with white stripes.
Pink with white stripes. Okay, cool. I like it. Anyway, that's a really cool suit.
That's the look.
Anyone else? Something you own that might not look like anybody else, but you cherish it and it's going with you forever? Chocolate chip cookie. This one's about Trump. My best friends, my college roommates, had a truck. A little pickup named Muddy Max that he would only use around the house and for yard work. Audience time, would you please say Muddy Max in between each one? You're that little truck.
Muddy Max.
Get me out whenever I'm stuck.
Muddy Max.
Bad lights and poor brakes, I don't mind.
Mighty Max.
Because your license plate says all mine.
Mighty Max.
You have many different modes.
Mighty Max.
You like it best off-road.
Mighty Max.
To me, you stick like glue.
Mighty Max.
I salute you.
Mighty Max.
He had to give it up a couple of years ago, so I kept it alive. in that. Call him there called Mighty Max. That's what he called it.
That's cute.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it is. When I think of him, I always think of Muddy Max.
Yeah.
Every time I call him and talk to him, Muddy Max comes up at least once.
Oh,
Muddy Max.
That's nice.
Muddy Max, Muddy Max. What's the next one? Is it number 7?
I don't know.
2-7.
2-1.
2-7?
Should be the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, I have 2-7.
Thanks, Judy.
That's what Joyce said.
Don't tell me what I can and cannot do to my image. I'm defiant. What you see is so far from true. I'm a mental giant. I'm frail, built like a nicknamed scarecrow, inside what a lot do not know. I have been broken and welded so many times. I can't tell you this no matter how hard I try. Misjudged book and misread cover, I'll tell you what lies under. My toes are curled. My body wants to go feel. In my life, I have seen so many demons. I pick up my legs to run, you know, like kids do, for fun. Gotta be careful because every step could lead to a tumble. This I can't forget. In front of my face, my eyes, specks for ears they can't disguise. My pupils are never in sync, no matter how hard I try and think. But don't tell me what I can and cannot do to my image I'm defiant, which you see is so far from true. I consider myself a mental giant. So other than the eye surgeries, I've had a bunch of surgeries on my legs. Osteotomies, which means they put a metal rod in your hips. They have to break your hips and push the bones out so you walk less knocking. And to be honest, even though it looks like it may not have helped, it really did help. I've had what are called, I've had my hamstrings lengthened so I'd be less knocky. I've had heel cord extension surgeries. I have, my body's like a scar road. Here's the X here, to go down here, to go over here, to go down there, to go up back here. Yeah, it's a lot. So, but luckily, this has not been affected all that much, unless you ask my mother. Various other people in my life. Next. Moving right along.
2-8. Young genius.
This is what I call my students when they're not on their technology 8 hours a day. It's actually a compliment. Young genius, sometime ago in the early afternoon, young genius, you entered the room. Young genius, you give me life and you give me health, just in the way you carry yourself. Young genius, I keep myself intact just by seeing you interact. Young genius, off to the university you go. Young genius, no need to look below. Young genius, begin again anew, young genius. I will soon have once known you. So that's about my relationship with my students. They're
nice.
The center of my life for quite a while, and then 2 years later, when did you graduate? What's my teacher's name? It's kind of a hard thing to put my head around, but it honestly does happen. And yeah, I use the word, phrase young genius quite often as a compliment. Oh, and I get old genius in return, but I'll take genius. I'll take genius. What's the next one?
2-9.
tonight.
Soup?
Judy, what's your favorite soup? Do you like soup?
Love soup.
Yeah, do you like soup on hot days?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've seen soup anytime.
Yeah, what kind of soup? Right? Yeah. What do you feel?
What?
What kind of soup are you feeling?
I like creamy soups.
Creamy soup.
Creamy soup.
Creamy mushroom?
Yeah, I love that.
Clam chowder?
Mm-hmm.
Manhattan or?
I like the New England better, but I'll eat either.
You'll eat either. I do either as well. Do you want to make squash soup?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. We had a biology expo, like a nutrition expo at school, and I just wasn't paying attention one day. One of the students said, "Hey, you want to try this soup?" He was like, "It's squash soup," and I'm like, "You gotta be kidding me! Who would make this?" And my aide from my class walks up and said, "Fox, I made it. Oh, it's really good, Donnie. It's great." Thank you, Prince EA, for showing me that DNA is not regulated by the FDA. Okay, spread the news. I'm short and white. I've got a friend. He's 6'10". He's got 19 tattoos. When I see him across the room, I don't see color. In fact, I don't see anything. I think, brother, let's get away from labels and groups. Jump into one big pot and make what, Dee?
Humans.
Soup! Just little soup! No, we're not making humans, soup! Just soup! It's a metaphor, I guess. I'm going to edit that part out. Let's just go to the next one real fast. Finish up the set. But yeah, soup.
Yep, I'm finished. Okay, pimples to wrinkles.
It's 11th grade. I look in the mirror and I can cry. My face is so pimple-laced and dry. Going out, I just dread. You know what I do? I put a bag over my head. My face was the ultimate roadblock. With a single glance, this grill could stop a clock. You say it looks good, I say, yeah, I'm only in the darkest subway station. It's got so many craters, I've seen them in the longest space exploration. Stick a fork in me, I'm done. Oh, that's summer when I was 21. There's a cute girl there who didn't want to meet, so tell me, how do I get rid of these crow's feet? I close my eyes and I wake up. I'm old. Heck. Going out, I just dread. I soon put a bag over my head. From Clearasil to Botox, to all those fixing steroid blocks, from pimples to wrinkles, life without mirrors would be a lot more simple. Is that number 10?
Yes.
All right, we're going to go to the last step. Everybody okay?
Fine.
Everybody okay? You going to survive? Check for your pulses? Okay. I love this song.
You're no good, heartbreaker. You're lying and you're cheap. I don't know why I let you do these things to me. My friends keep telling me that you ain't no good.
It goes well beyond confidence. It's about total body omnipotence. This occurs when you negate every doubt, denial, and negative leaf about your ability to think about victory inside and out. You connect this in every bone and cell in your body. You're on top of your game. Never have you felt more conviction. So in this last set, I'm going to make you think about something you want to do, you haven't done, you're just going to punch it in the mouth over and over again. It begins with conviction, belief in yourself, it starts from here. Goes all the way down. 3-2.
I've got it.
Thank you.
Doubt out.
If you poured him in a cup, he'd be murky and dark, no doubt. If you did indeed invite him to a party, I'd make him RSVP to the wrong person. If he were a book, he's a monstrous liar, has no business being on your shelf. I strongly advise you to take all this contact information out of your address book. Take no counsel of this wretched, lifeless thing called
doubt.
So, Laura, if you would flip that over, what does it say?
When you become scared, what's the first thing you lose?
Lose control of. What do you think? Lose confidence.
Self-esteem? Guts.
Guts? What else?
Yourself.
Yourself, essentially. You lose yourself. You almost like you become stupid. But listen, doubt, fear, they're not tangible things. They're not real. It's not real. You can use fear. It either burn you down or heat up your house. Choose it to heat up your house. That's what I was saying for that one. 3-3.
Last but three. It comes down to.
Comes down to what?
Belief in yourself.
Belief in yourself, right? The character of the man. What I write, I find true but hard to believe. Often we are prone to judge simply by what we see. But if you look closer with true eye exertion, I find the tougher the challenge, the more special the person. Who are the ones, 1,000 times they get hit, they fall right in their back, but they look up and they get up and they get right back on track. Knockdowns, they have them in trillions, but they are married to a trait called resilience. They know as life comes and passes, take great satisfaction and rise up from the ashes. What I write, I find true and hard to believe. Often we approach, judge, simply by what we see. But looking closer with true eye exertion, I find the tougher the challenge, the more special the person. It's about adversity, revealing character, and hopefully building it. There are a lot of views on that, but experience is the best teacher, I've found.
True.
Experience is the best teacher. Not me, experience. Next one.
3-4, right?
Yeah.
Individuality saved.
Courage to be yourself. The more yourself, the more diverse this place is and the cooler it is. Are you trying to stand out, but sure your twin is out there, no doubt? They wear what you wear, they do what you do. Your carbon copy, nothing new. But let me ask you this. Do they have your tone? Do they have your heartbeat, your mission? Remember, it's impossible to find out what lies within. With so many similar things, remember how you were made. Have no fear. Your individuality is saved. Be yourself. Be yourself and like people will find you. Wish I knew that when I was in high school. Be yourself and like people will find you. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
Make sense to you all?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Experience is the best teacher. Okay, good. Sinking in. Next one! Thank you. 3-5? 3-5?
Okay. I can't
count.
least, lost, left out, looked over.
Who has felt like one of those in their life? Least, lost, left out, or looked over? Which ones? Least lost, left out, looked over, all of them. Which one have you felt most in your life?
Left out.
Left out? Me too. It's more like invisible. Do you know what I mean? It's more invisible. I haven't been ostracized because of the way I look or move or whatever. But it's almost like I feel like people in the past have felt like they had to be nice to me. It's like a requirement, so they don't look like the jerk. But do they really care? Oh, no. Physical skills, I've had the least at times. I'm so lost, my GPS has given up on me. When you've been left out, least and lost, it seems to be the natural progression of things. But remember this. The less you have, the less you have to weigh you down. Maybe you're not lost. Maybe you haven't gotten sucked in. Looked over? Not by you. Make your best bet yourself. You can just be yourself and like people will find. That's what this is all about. Be comfortable in your own shoes. Because we're designed to be different in the first place. We have no twins in here. They act like somebody else, but you all know that. Next one.
Me.
Who are you?
The tougher the challenge.
You do or you don't, you will or you won't, you have one life. Sometimes you decide. What happens when life's events that just don't make sense? Everything's not in the itinerary, everything's on the contrary. Dive in and swim. It's time to find out what lies within. Because when you're dealt a secondary hand, it comes down to the character of the man. The elevator is closed. Take the stairs. You don't have time to care. It's not about ifs or buts. Fall down twice, three times, Dad. Battle tested, been through wars. The diamond you most adore. Every day you approach with conviction, there's nothing you know more than friction. So dive in and swim. It's time to find out what lies within. Because when you're dealt the secondary hand, I'm telling you, it does come down to the character of man. Make sense? Make sense? I want to do this at the end, because you all are going to be asleep at this time, so I'm only going to pick you up at the end. That's what I'm trying to do right here. You know what I mean? Next one! Only a few more.
The road to success.
Is what? I mean, does it have like Johnny Atlases on horses? Like, come here and hang out with me. Here's some grapes in a funnel. Is that success looks like? That road to success, is that what it looks like? No, right? It's not like that at all. I found. What's it like?
Rocky.
Rocky. How's it describe it? I was watching a documentary on a basketball player named Steve Nash, and he constantly goes back, he's a great filmmaker now, and constantly goes back to this one image of I think it's of Hercules pushing a boulder up a mountain. And it's kicking back at him, and it's going down. Going back down. Going back down. It's like in every single scene. That struck a chord with me. Even if tough times last, tough people, they last longer. And as you go down that mogul-ridden path, let your faith grow stronger. If you fall off the horse, get up and get back on the saddle. Victory highway is not smooth sailing. That road is a constant uphill battle. Even if positive thoughts don't work, negative thoughts, they'll kill you. Keep your mind, your body, your soul on high alert. You never know what height you take yourself to. So keep one hand on the wheel and one foot in the gas. Struggles you face, they are real. And guess what? You can tell them to kiss your ass. Road to success is not paved. It's not. Next one.
That's it for me.
2-3-7?
It would be 3-8.
Oh, hey, that's me, that's 8. Step.
Just in between each line, just say that word nice and loud. You're idle no more.
Step.
Pick yourself up off the floor.
Step.
Get up out of your seat.
Step.
You will not lie there in defeat.
Step.
In mind and body, a winning tranquility.
Step.
Without movement, there's no possibility.
Step.
Each pace equals a seed.
Step.
In the world's largest sequoia tree.
Step.
One by one, they'll amass.
Step.
4 foot passes down victory path.
Step.
Yes.
It's 11th grade. I look in the mirror and I can cry. My face so pimple laced and dry. Going out, I just dread. I soon put a bag over my head. My face was built in a roadblock.
Put guitar over that one.
My size four is a bottomless pit.
Yeah.
On the best of us.
Leaves falling off the trees. Observe. See what you see. The pantomime sunset of the much is far from over there of the earth.
Brave.
You were the one that prevailed.
Brave.
Create your own rhythm.
Brave.
Doesn't it feel great to create your own microcosm?
Brave.
Whether your pace is slow or fast.
Brave.
Let the air in your lungs amass.
That was in Putin, too.
I give it my all and do it to no end. I get up the next day and I do it again. I tell myself before I get started, there's no reason to do this half-hearted. My words, my deeds, my actions, my own. My body and my mind, my home. My effort manifests itself in a soaking lather. In the end, it's my integrity that matters. I sweat. I don't get tired.
Change your thoughts, change your life. I hope I made you laugh a little bit. Possibly almost cry and think. That was the whole goal. Do you have any questions for me?
I don't know if this was done, but is that 2-1 a sharp knife?
I did that one before you came in.
Right,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sharp knife, because you don't get out. Tough combination.
Oh, yeah, that one.
For a ranger, I get that one. Yes?
I noticed, I think you wrote some new ones.
Yeah, I have a lot of new ones, and a couple of ones I did today are new ones. Mm-hmm.
So
I continue.
Do you have a new book sometime?
I'm going to have a new book, and I post a lot of them online.
Do you have a blog?
My website is myname.com,
okay.
foxbuyer.com, and you can go on there and click on some of the links and all kinds of spoken word stuff, and you can, if you'd like, download them. It's all for free, except for the book and stuff like that. So yes, I continue to make it
fresh. Do you have
fresh.
A Foxbuyer Facebook page?
I do.
Poems?
I have it for poems in my book, yes.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I do.
See it.
So, yeah. Website, which is my name, and Facebook, which is my name.
Oh, okay.
If you want to know.
Okay. I'll
click
like.
Oh, please. I'm just so glad that y'all came. Thank you.
Thank you.
I really do enjoy doing this.
Oh,
yes.
You ever read Dwayne Dwyer?
I have not.
His book's terrific.
Yes,
Wayne Dwyer.
He just recently died.
He recently died. He did?
No,
he's fantastic.
I
test.
D Y E R.
D Y E.
He's
an
inspirational
writer. Yeah.
It's just like you.
He would have
shared
a lot of books.
A lot of books.
Yeah.
Type stuff.
I recommend the book, everybody.
Yeah, it's
the
great.
The first book.
And the drawings are terrific.
Yeah.
Well, a good buddy of mine from college, a teammate of mine, a brilliant artist. And
yeah.
He did a lot of the illustrations in like gouache tile. It's good.
Gouache.
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 Gouache. He called it gouache.
No. Gouache.
Initially, I
guess
what I mean.
Wash. We had trouble
spelling
G-O-U-A-C-H-E. Is it right?
I guess.
Anybody?
Gouache.
Confirm?
Okay.
Wash?
Is it?
But they're really good.
Yeah, he's on Facebook a lot.
Yes.
How long have you been doing this?
About a year and a half.
Is there something that spurred you on to start doing this?
Was going back to that very first poem, the Wizard poem, I was with that Frank going back to the game, and he and I listened to a lot of music together. Okay? He's like, you know, I need to write a song. So I wrote something, and he said, that's pretty good, let's write another one. And they turned into these poems. And then he said, I would send each one that I wrote to him and say, hey, what do you think? He said, listen, you need to go somewhere to post this and comment it on and comment on others to see what they're writing. I said, sure. So I did it on this site called yourpoetry.com. And then a poet from that site said, hey, I have my manuscript here. Could you proofread it? And I said, yeah. And by the way, how are you going through this process? Because I want to try. Do you know what I mean? Get myself published. She gave me a couple of phone numbers. I called Ex Libris. They called me back, I gave them a manuscript, and they offered me a deal.
Very good.
And then from there, I said, well, what do you do with this thing? It's just a stack of paper, right? What do I do? I don't necessarily want to promote it, but I want to be able to use it in some way to help people.
Yeah.
So I started reciting the poems and then talking about myself through the poems in some way, fashion or form.
And we met you at an art...
Tell them that story.
It was really funny. We went to see a friend's artwork in Bhutan, and they had an art night weekend.
And poetry.
And there was poetry across the
street.
And we said, oh, but we're not interested in poetry.
No, I see.
She was not into it. She started walking the other direction.
Somehow we were on the street. We said, let's go get a cup of coffee. And he was over at the coffee shop, but we didn't know it. We weren't interested in the poetry. And then he started reciting his stuff, and we just got engrossed in it.
Yes, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It wasn't, and we all bought the book. There were three of us.
Uh-huh.
And we had a wonderful time, and we ended up spending more time with Fox, our friend the artist. It was really funny. As a matter of fact, across the street, somebody was reciting poetry, some other poet, and it was so boring. He was just standing there.
Yes,
reciting his poem.
But she had food at this ice cream parlor. So
it wasn't
okay.
Ice cream parlor. It was really inspirational, and I said,
"Yeah."
What? And then we went to see him at the Chatham Library, where he was down there somewhere.
Yeah.
And then I said, "Wow,
we
do have a
library.
Couple of
yeah.
nice libraries.
We're really
we
library.
Follow him everywhere.
It's great. Yes.
Do you utilize your gift in your classroom with your students?
Yeah, I was just going to ask
when
that.
They're off their phones, yes. I do. I try to incorporate it often as I possibly can.
It must be a fun class.
I'm sure you're
I try to have fun. I try to have fun.
Well, do they learn some Spanish, too?
They do.
He's fluent in Spanish.
Oh,
it's,
my.
It's not easy, but yeah, I try to incorporate it.
What
because
do you teach?
They don't want
Spanish.
To.
Do you have a master's?
We conjugate verbs in all class.
Five
do you know what I mean? They need a little bit of flavor at times, and basically, as a teacher, I'm trying to change the current culture, parts of the culture that I don't like. I figure that's my biggest job, and if I can do it through a little Espanol, good. But yeah, I do. Hey, you want to hear my poem? No, prof, I don't want to hear my poem. Please, go to practice. But yeah.
I know that baseball has
yeah.
a prominent part in your life.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was something that I've done my whole life. So I grew up a big Yankee fan around here, and then I was a pitcher in high school on Chatham High School baseball team. And a couple of fun tidbits. My senior year, I had a very good year as a pitcher. And MSG Network in those days, one of the writers for the Star Ledger had contacts with MSG Network, and they got someone to come over and film one of my games. I pitched a pretty good game that day. They had contacts with the Yankees, and then one day, a good friend of mine this day, Mike Quick from MSG Network at the time, called me and said, "Fox, are you sitting down?" I said, "No, I'm not sitting down." He said, "You need to sit down right now." I said, "Why?" He said, "Sit down." So I sat down and he said, "Listen, you're going to throw out the first pitch to a Yankees game this summer.
Oh,
just pick the date." And I flipped. Threw out the first pitch, went to the University of South Carolina, a place that completely changed my life, met a lot of really good friends, was a manager on the baseball team, and then a student coach of the baseball team for 3 years. My last year there was the College World Series. I've spent the last 10 years with my good friend, the wisdom poem dude, Brett Joey, with Somerset Patriots. He's the manager there now, and I'm the bench coach. I've been there for the past 10 years as the bench coach. So it continues to be a part of my life, and the best part about it is the relationships you build.
Nice.
Part
and that's they're all professionals.
They're all professionals. It's professional meeting.
I gotta know, how was that first pitch with the Yankees?
I don't remember.
Oh.
I was.
On cloud nine.
It was great. So you get off the bus and you go into the home entrance and you follow this line of blue tape into the clubhouse and past the clubhouse into the dugout. And I go into the dugout and the first person that I see is Derek Jeter. Over and I shake his hand, Mr. Jeter. I'm 18, he's 23, and I'm calling him Mr. But yeah, that's the kind of respect.
Yeah.
So, shake his hand, he kept saying to me, "Hey, don't bounce it. Whatever you do, don't bounce it." "Well, I gotta get loose." "I can't get loose." "Well, how does that work? How does that work, Derek? You don't get loose before a game, but you can't bounce it." So he's busting my chops, and I'm eating it up. And then I sit down, and I'm just sitting there, and Joe Torre comes up. He doesn't say one word. "Hey, how you doing?" He didn't shake my hand at all. Yeah. And he just points at the camera. And they get a couple of pictures. And then Wade Boggs comes over and talks to me about his sister who has MS. Wade Boggs was a great player for a number of years in the major leagues. Some of the Yankees, some of the Red Sox. He's in the Hall of Fame. And I'm eating this up as well. And this is my first view of, this guy's human. This guy's human. And then Joe Girardi, the current manager who was a catcher on that team, says, "Hey, Maya's sister, she's a professor at the University of South Carolina." I ended up meeting her when I was there. It was great. And then I let the team out in the field. Derek Jeter looked at me and said, "Hey, bro, are you ready to go?" I didn't know what to say. This is your team out in the field. Say something. So I did, let's rock and roll, and I tripped.
Oh!
Got up. Got to the mound, and I didn't throw it from the mound. I don't know why. I think I was afraid that David Wells, who was pitching that day, I didn't want to mess up his mound. It's like secret ground for a lot of pitchers. So I threw it from about 45 feet away, and Jorge Posada went out and snapped it like that. I also would have bounced.
Oh.
I did a little pirouette, spinning around, because I was just so happy. And NBC Dateline is behind the plate filming me. This man named Shapur, and he's filming me with this big camera, and he sees me do this pirouette, like, "Wee, yay!" He starts laughing so hard, he falls backward and loses the shot.
Oh.
But it was a lot of fun.
Is that how you ended up at the University of South Carolina?
No, I ended up there because of a PE teacher at Chatham High School who went there in 83 and 84. Looked at the schools I was applying to my senior year and said, "Hey, you're not going to play in college, why would you want... You need to go here." So he ended up calling University of Miami, University of South Carolina. And when I got there, my dad looked at me and said, "Fox, if you don't go here, I'm going to kill you." And it's a second home for me to this day. I go back every single year. I mean, I have a lot of friends. I mean, in fact, the Biting Axe column, the guy that said that was written about, his truck, he was my college roommate.
And he ended up playing for Somerset in 2008 when I was the coach there, so he came here and lived with me for 2 years as well. And we were 30 years old. So that's, it's a cool story. But yeah, it's a baseball and University of South Carolina are huge parts of my life. Huge. Sorry that was long-winded, but want to get your money's worth.
And would you say you've always had this positive outlook, or was it harder?
Always had it, but I try to be real. I'm not
a Pollyanna.
I mean, Pollyanna, you know, I'm not a Debbie Downer either, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Life's not a bowl of cherries, and I know that. You know that, but...
Don't you have great parents?
Yeah, they're unbelievable.
They must be.
They're unbelievable parents. I don't, you know,
no,
like
they
I said.
They get a lot of the credit.
They get all of it.
And your great sister to our side.
Yeah, she's now a rock star. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They get tons of the credit.
And I
mean, they took care of me for longer than they ever should have. I remember I was at the beach this past weekend, and former neighbors at the parents' condo, they had moved, and they were talking about my parents, and I said, hey, Jim, make sure you tell them that, because they aren't told that enough.
Yeah.
Because, not just for me, but for my other siblings as well. They just surrounded me with good people. And they put me in a spot where, hey, you're one of them, you need to go out and play. We played baseball in the backyard. It was everybody for themselves. And in the early days, my brother Billy hit first, my brother Nick hit second, and then I hit third. So I'd be pitching to Nick with Billy on second base. Nick would hit a bomb, and my skinny, fat dude butt would have to go running after the ball. But I didn't, one thing it was supposed to was no complaining. You're given a good life, you have a lot, don't complain about it. That's what really the way I look at life is simply like this. Generally, I find that somebody who you're talking to always thinks they have it worse than you do. I think the opposite. I think that somebody, nobody has it better than me. I'm not going to be as low as me.
That's
I'm not going
to
complain. It's not easy to do, okay? I have negative thoughts all the time. But I try to fight them and pass them on. Make sense?
You are your thoughts.
Yeah, you are. You are. So don't think about cake.
Oh, God. Oh, you
Lori,
want to take
a thank you very
thank
much
you.
For setting this up. Thank you, Dee Dee, for your continued invaluable support and getting me to Ridgewood to hear meeting me in Booton. It's just been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It will continue to be a lot of fun.
Thank
so thank you.
Thank
and there,
you.
There are books up here.